Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what are you guys up to?
Oh, a little weed, you know.
It's the Weedsman Podcast Nugget.
Zippity what?
Ready to drop the bass? Let's drop the bass.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean?
All the random stuff that didn't fit in Friday's show you'll find here.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, man. You got a joint?
Put a little bit of reefer ice in on your board.
What'd that mean?
Please, give me, just give me
my weed, all right?
This is Jim in the comments for 1 week.
It's a big old pile you got
this,
there.
This is a huge pile. This is ridiculous. Well, you know, this happens around the holidays because next week's is going to be a lot lighter because it hits around Thanksgiving. This will happen in, at Christmas time too. The week of Christmas is usually a super light week, but you know, everything still comes out the same month. So they just front load it. Some, you know, as much as I love Marvel, make mine Marvel, they do like to dig. When they dig hard. I mean, this is a big week for X-Men. X-Men canceled all the current X-Men books and put out, starting with this week, Uncanny X-Men number one, an $8 comic. Now it's...
What do comics usually run?
Four.
Wow.
And
it's double issue?
Yeah, I mean, that's a thick issue, right? That looks pretty solid. It looks like two... I don't know what the page count on it, but it looks like it's over 48, which would be double your normal comic.
So I wouldn't be mad. I'm at least getting twice the comic for twice
the
money.
I mean, as long as there's... this looks like it's a solid amount of story. So there's not like some backup that nobody gives a shit about or some pinups. Maybe sometimes they'll even throw a reprint in.
Oh, that's cheating.
Yeah. But the real thing here is that next week there's going to be a number two, and the week after that a three, and a four, and a five, and a six, all the way up into 10.
So this is usually a monthly pattern?
Weekly. Most comics are monthly. DC actually started with their reboot recently with the new Batman and everything that's getting so much attention. That's a biweekly book, as many of the DCs are.
You think you are Netflix?
Every 2 weeks.
They're like Netflix and comic books.
Well, that's the thing. Well,
have a year's worth in 2 months.
Like, DC decided they wanted to put out two comics a week. All right, that would be really ridiculous. Two comics a month. And so then Marvel said, all right, we're going to do weekly events then.
Yeah, guess what? We have Disney's money behind us.
I think it's debatable. You know, it's kind of weird the relationship between the Marvel, the comic book idea factory, and the movie production company. There's quite the division between the two. And I think, yes, Disney does own Marvel, the publishing company, but...
I should say they
don't seem to have, like,
they have the resources being a part of Disney affords you, like, a ton of money to put this all out in this short amount of time, a ton of money to publicize it, distribution.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they do.
They got enough money for the business side of it.
I don't think they do. I think they have to be self-sufficient on their own. They don't. I mean, if Marvel was in danger of going bankrupt, then, yeah, no doubt the parent company would step in. It couldn't.
Hat in hand to Mickey Mouse. Please, sir, may I make a comic?
But there's this idea that, like, comics is... to Marvel, as an income stream, Marvel Comics is, like, nothing, right? But the IP is priceless.
I don't know. The movies have... I heard something the other day.
The movies,
from Iron Man alone, they made, like, $2 billion.
They don't make jack shit compared to that off the comics. They'll make... 3-4 times off of the Marvel movies in 1 year than they'll make, well, way
comics
more than that.
Plant the
than roasting in comics. Well, yeah, no, absolutely.
So, by the way, I heard.
That's the thing, they're not going to let it just die.
Would have brought this up. I heard Stan Lee 20 years ago sold all his movie points for $10 million. Oops!
Yeah, well.
He didn't see that coming.
That was. Marvel was on the cusp of going bankrupt at the time. Like, everyone thought that Marvel was going to fold.
Yeah, he didn't see 20 years down the road, with, hey, the only movies that are going to make any money are comic book movies,
right?
And, hey, they'll all be Marvel.
What was the history of Marvel comic book movies? They had made some, and they were like the Hulk movie and the Thor and the Doctor Strange.
That Hulk movie was a piece of shit.
And this might have even been around the time that the Richard Corman Fantastic Four was being produced.
Was this the one that never came out?
Yeah, the one that didn't end up getting released. Michael yes. Chiklis is from the Shield. He's the Thing. Or no, wait, that's the...
Well, those are the ones that did come out.
All right.
Because they had Jessica Alba.
That is the one that came out.
Yeah, no, that's just a big flaming piece of shit.
No, they didn't release that one. You're right. That was just bad.
No, because I know there was like a whole...
I'd rather watch the Roger Corman one because at least it's entertainingly bad.
Because of the Projection Booth podcast here at ChristopherMedia.net. There's like a whole movie based on a Fantastic Four movie that was made and never came out.
Right. Oh, they made a documentary about it? They're doing that yes. with the Superman movie, too, that was supposed to be produced by, the Batman
Kevin
guy.
Smith?
Well, no.
Oh, no, that was a script that never saw the light of day, right?
Kevin was involved in the script, and it may or may not have been the one that they used for this, but it was Nicolas Cage playing Superman, directed by Tim Burton.
Yes, I've heard of this.
And they got as far as doing screen tested shit. Where they had a costume made up for
I think
for
that
him.
Might have been the Kevin Smith
I think,
script.
Yeah. I think that is the one that he's involved in. You're right. But I don't know. On top, so, 10 weeks. So, Uncanny X-Men comes back. The fact that this is a number one of Uncanny X-Men is significant in the way that, like, Uncanny X-Men was the first X-Men book, and for quite a while, we haven't had a book with that title on it.
The Uncanny X-Men, and they just dropped the Uncanny for a while?
They were,
or is this like a whole different strain of X-Men that I don't even know about?
The original Uncanny X-Men, it's all the same X-Men. It's all the same mutant group at the end of the day. And so Uncanny X-Men starts in 63, I think, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Lasts until probably mid-90s, I want to say. And then they release X-Men, like... adjectiveless X-Men, as some would refer to it as, but just X-Men book.
You're like, listen, we get charged by the letter, the shortness title.
Well, it's concurrent. It's a separate team. You have this concept of red and or blue and gold teams now.
Ah.
And actually, the X-Men team is the one that most closely resembles the one that would be on the cartoons that everyone remembers, with your Wolverines and your... I think Cyclops was on the other team.
No, he was on there.
Oh, no, Cyclops was... No, I'm thinking comics, though. Cyclops at the time went to X-Factor, the original Uncanny X-Men, the five members that mm-hmm. Jack Kirby and Stan Lee created. They launched a book with them that was called X-Factor. Because I guess they were supposed to be
with
dead.
Singers?
No, not... Yeah, not the singing competition.
Hey,
the singing
slow
competition
down, Internet.
Or just like a general talent, like America's Got Talent type of thing?
X Factor, I believe, is UK's kind of American Idol.
It's
the show Simon Cowell created that American singing. Idol ripped off. Yeah, so there's Wolverine, Rogue,
yeah.
Storm.
Well, so... they're digging hard, you know, $8 number one issue on a weekly 10-part series. And then they announce at the end of that, there's like six mini-series that are going to come out that are all going to run concurrently. If you want the full X-Men story of what's going on in this new age of X-Men, then you've got to...
They're putting out like 10 in a row.
And 10 in a row.
Six miniseries all at once.
All at once. And they're not staggering this shit at all.
They're Netflix and the comic book industry.
And it doesn't seem like all of these six miniseries are all separate teams. Like all of your popular X-Men are spread up amongst these books. Usually, like, your miniseries are like, you know, somebody's doing a team up or a solo, like, you know, Wolverine's going off on his own.
Someone had to come up with an idea to move units.
Right, a little add on, you know.
They're going to move the fuck out of some units.
People want more Rogue, but we can only put so much in the couple of X-Men books that we have, so let's do a solo Rogue story. Actually, Rogue now has a book with Rogue and Gambit.
Maybe Disney gives them the money to hire all these people to put all this shit out.
I don't think so.
Because, I mean, this has to take teams and teams.
From everything that I've heard. Teams,
even though I know computers are involved now.
But this is something that Marvel's been doing.
Teams of people.
This is something that's been doing that Marvel's been doing before they were ever bought by Disney. And honestly, I mean, I'm not some sort of insider, but I do read a lot. I
I'm going to believe whatever you say.
Well, I not only read the books, but I read a lot of press about it. I listen to a lot of podcast interviews with comic book creators and people who've worked for Marvel and people who've worked in editorial positions in Marvel. And honestly, it doesn't seem like Marvel has changed at all under Disney. They don't seem like they've got any more or less money or press or anything else. They've always been a real big heavy hitter in the comic book industry. Mm-hmm. They were the Disney of their own industry. Like, they were the Disney of comics.
So Disney's been very hands-off. Like, hey, just like Netflix, though. Hey, do your thing. We'll just put our name on it and take
that
a certain percentage.
That is a lot like Netflix. I think we're starting to see that kind of come to an end now. There's a couple of the Marvel Netflix shows that have been canceled recently. Netflix is canceling some of its own productions.
Well, dude, they need eyeballs, even with their own shit. Well, no one's watching it anymore.
Well,
we're done.
They have to realize that there is a certain limit to your growth when you're that big, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things have to plateau eventually. They are continuing to put on, like, fucking millions of viewers at a time. I'm like, there's millions of people that don't have Netflix?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Last year was ridiculous. They slowed down a little this year, but last year... It seemed like every 2 weeks there was something new on Netflix to watch.
You know, House of Cards came back. This is the first Kevin Spacey-less season.
Let me guess. They killed him off.
He dies off screen, yeah.
How? Spoiler alert.
Actually, it's kind of a mystery.
Oh, is the season figuring out how he died?
Well...
Is that going to be a plot line?
It's not really the main thing, but yes, that seems to be part of it. Like, he died in his bed. Well, the official statement is he died in bed with them together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out, no, he was actually, they had separate rooms, mm-hmm. and he died in his. And then later on, she tells Doug Stamper, they're like, you know, whatever, man. You know,
some guy in a bondage mask was sneaking out at 2 in the morning.
No, she's like, he died right there on the floor.
Oh,
and then there's also...
The story's changing.
There's also... there's a will that Francis left that supposedly gives everything to Doug Stamper as assistant instead of his widow. And it's kind of ridiculous. I've been not trying to be heavily invested in politics and taking a bit of a break post-election. And this is kind of sopping up some of that excess anxiety that I have about
politics. Doing it vicariously through fake TV show.
Yeah. And so Claire, the new, is now president, right? This happened before... This was like the kind of season finale for the last season, right?
I'm not a watcher. But, was she the vice president?
Well, okay, so...
Because that's not how this works.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, like, if Trump dies, Melania is not president.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Kevin Spacey's character was president, but did not die in office. At the end of end of the last season, he steps down
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of kind of, he's like Nixon bad, like Trump bad, and so he steps down and. This is after, like, I think something happens. He loses his vice president. He appoints Claire. Then he steps down. She becomes president.
Puppet regime.
Right. And that was the idea. Only Claire had her own ideas and was like, I'm not going to be your puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so... Maybe she did kill him. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she's being opportunistic, but she certainly has no...
You do what you want. I'm going to go blow a bunch of dudes.
Well, the thing is, Kevin Spacey character, Francis, he killed a fair amount of people, whether by his own hand or through Doug Stamper, his assistant. But...
Sitting there's a target on him, several.
I think that Claire has outpaced him just over the course of the first half of the season. Like, there's bodies dropping left and right, and she's... cold-blooded about it.
Damn. Well, she's a woman. Hey-o!
Whoa. You know, she fires her entire cabinet when they try... This is her all part of her plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
She fakes being so grief-stricken and overwhelmed by her new position that she can't even leave the house. And she has herself seen by people, like, with their makeup smeared, with, like, the lights off, saying, just leave me alone.
I'm so sad.
Right. So they go, we got to do 25th Amendment. She's incompetent, and if we get the vice president to sign off of it, and then Congress follows, it's done deal. Everyone gets ready to go. They have the document signed. They're ready to make their announcement. Claire barges in and is like, guess what? You're all fired. And then appoints an all-female cabinet. This is her way of clearing house, is to play on the idea that a woman can't handle this kind of pressure, this job.
Oh, yeah? Here's all women.
I think your old lady would like it.
Oh, no, she said she was pretty geek that she's going to get a resolution in the House of Cards. That's the one thing. She wasn't pissed about Kevin Spacey.
Well,
she was pissed that she wasn't going to see how House of Cards ended.
Right, because that is all of this. There's like having Francis dead actually kind of helps the story. And all of this was set up before any of this controversy happened. She became the president before, you know, when they were sure they were making another season with Kevin Spacey. All this controversy happened afterwards, thankfully, before they started shooting, and they found a way to write him out of it.
Is he in the show but as a dead body?
No, he's not.
They're like, no.
At least not done. So far. Maybe they're saving you're that fucking, for the season at finale.
You don't get to be on our show anymore. You don't even get to be in a bed sleeping.
Well, if you think that having comic books made into movies, or TV shows, both, actually, is getting out of hand. I mean, just wait. The amount of stories that I'm reading about what's getting developed doesn't mean everything's happening, but like Oblivion Song by Robert Kirkman.
I don't even know what that is.
It's kind of like zombies only with monsters and alternate dimensions that some people get trapped in. It's the, you know, from Walking Dead guy. Gideon Falls is being made into a TV show. This weird horror kind of David Lynchian small town strangeness. Now, many of these we've already seen in movies. Lone Ranger comic. Did you ever watch The Lone Ranger? I mean, it would have been reruns.
No.
There was that remake that everyone seemed to really hate, so I avoided it.
Well, Johnny Depp. Yeah. We'll paint him white in all body paint.
Boring. Yeah.
Just have it on loop. Also, I have in there the finale.
Boring.
Yeah, oh, appropriately so. I was just going to, this ties in. So I have the finale of Mr. Miracle, which is a book that nobody thought anyone wanted, but now everyone loves.
Mr. Miracle.
This is...
It's Smokey Robinson?
No. Mr. Miracle, Scott Free, he can escape anything. He's an old Jack Kirby character that was created for DC when he left Marvel for the second time, I think. So Tom King, the writer of this, actually had something to say about Bill Maher recently, because I don't know why Bill Maher chose this time to like criticize America's love of comic books. But he, you know, used Stan Lee's death as an opportunity to go, you know, I can't believe you guys are this obsessed with comics. And basically, like, TLDR was like, this is how you got Trump. We don't get Trump in America that does grown-up things. And it was kind of, it was also about, it was called adulting. He was saying, like, now adult males perfectly normal sit around and read comic books. And then when they have to do something real, like buy car insurance, they're like, oh, I'm adulting. Got to tweet about it. I'm adulting right now. Like, yeah. It was some big chore. Like, just doing normal shit, taking care of business.
I must confess, I was working at a store last week, and somebody called up and was asking if we had seen a Batman wallet.
Yeah.
And then I didn't take the phone call, and I asked the person who took the phone call. Like, is that an adult male? Like, yeah. It's like, it was the first kid? Like, no. And I just shook my head. Like, God damn it.
It's all fun. You know, some people may go, what am I doing now? Oh, I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
Hey, look.
Usually I'm wearing a comic book
themed
t-shirt.
The way I dress, I can't throw any stones.
Right, you've got Mario on your shirt.
Yeah,
I can see him peeking out.
But I don't wear this to work.
Right. Yeah.
Like, put it that way.
Yeah. But, you know, that's if you got to wear a suit or even dress casual, business casual for work. That's a little way where you can express yourself. So you have the wallet.
I guess.
Like, what is it hurting? That's a thing. But anyway.
That person's credibility.
Tom King really didn't have anything to say about it except for he posted some representation of Stanley's work. He posted the Stanley's soapbox that Rich was reading from on the last Unregimented,
mm-hmm.
where he's talking about racism and social issues like that. And then he posted the third picture was a picture of Bill Maher and Trump, like, together at some shindig, right? And this is probably, judging by Bill Maher's hair, it's probably just pre-birtherism Trump, right?
Yeah, it's probably before the orangutan remark.
Right. It was the birtherism that caused the orangutan remark, and that was the real falling out between the two.
Two swinging dicks in New York City.
But otherwise, like...
Hanging out, chasing pussy together.
At the time, what was Trump known as? A blowhard, mostly Democratic donor that's full of shit that is everywhere. I mean, he was harmless, right?
He was famous for being a rich guy.
Right. He was like if that Asian dude with the yacht on the late night commercials got his own show.
Oh.
What was his name?
We have to watch that dude.
And then I don't know, there was another picture that had something to do with Bill Maher. But yeah, many people had many things to say about Bill Maher. And this is a group, especially the millennial comic book readers, are, shall we say, the communist branch of the Liberal Party.
There we go.
Not the biggest fans of Bill Maher. They don't have tolerance for things like fuck Islam. This is one of them. Yeah. This must be an early one. Is he going to have chicks in bikinis on this? He's showing us his life. Ex bus boy buys butcher mansion. That's the headline. There they are. And several
years ago, I have white women. Building knowledge with other people
across the country. Many people took myself. See, my memory made these commercials much better than they actually were. If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Isn't it? Is that a Rolls Royce? Or a Bentley?
Andrew Carnegie says 90% of America's millionaires made it in real estate.
Whatever it is, it's one of those cars that the owner never drives.
Chicken, pink bikini on a boat. Oh, you're not.
I know. That was like a 5-second lingering shot of a girl in a bikini and blonde hair whipping her hair in the wind on a yacht. Like, this is proof that I make enough money to pay strippers $50 an hour to sit on my rented yacht.
This is the Vu family when they first arrived in the United States.
Jeez, we've seen this picture already. How is this like a 1-minute commercial? Brothers and sisters. Oh, this is like the full infomercial. Now the Vu family has become. Yeah, this is like 5 minutes.
Dude, he got like. There's got to be
an indictment somewhere, or
no? Like he got wild in the '90s. Like start throwing out, "Don't be a loser," like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Will make you financially independent for the rest of
this is
life.
The one that I remember.
One of my recent transactions, I walked away with a check for $15,010.50.
By the way, it's all the money made this year.
I took the Tom Blue Profit Seminar. It has worked for me. It has made me financially
now I can finally
secure.
Pay off my dues to his too. Club.
You don't have to ask your boss for a raise anymore. You can give yourself the best raise of your life. Come to my seminar.
Using the Tom Vu techniques, I bought this house, made $33,000. If I can apply the Tom Vu techniques and make $33,000 in this house, you can.
Oh, you mean he made 33? Yeah, it was real estate.
My seminar is a solution for those of you.
So he made 33 grand on the one house. Well, that's not bad. You flip a house, you do two of those a year, you're living all right.
Maybe $12,000.
You don't need to be a genius to learn how to make a lot of money. All,
the chicks in bikinis are lined up with their asses facing.
Hey, black people, listen up. This is your part of the commercial.
It pays for $98,000, and we were able to get it for $55,000. What this has done has given me confidence in myself that I know I have the ability to be able to do this, and he has confidence in me, too.
But I'm totally emasculated.
Like this were possible.
But we have the house, and we have our $30,000 profit, and I certainly believe now.
Do you see yourself a millionaire someday? Have some guts. Make a decision. Come to my seminar.
I do remember the one where he's like calling people, he's like, you don't want to be a loser.
I hope you enjoy seeing my waterfall as much as I do. I know this water fountain right in front of my estate, so I feel good about it. I feel successful every time I come home. Speaking of waterfall, that reminds me of a secret that made me to become very wealthy. I know a lot of people
what I did to these strippers
well,
you're going to see next.
Fixing people yeah. how to make millions in real estate. They forget that I have another secret, this unique secret that most people don't know about. Let me tell you how I learned.
Oh, it's on YouTube now.
Years ago, when I was a busboy at the country club I used to work at,
here he goes again.
I got all the
oh, we're going by the
every time, Tom.
We didn't pay $19.95.
And I said, sir, I'm giving you some water. Would you
yeah, this is off the tapes.
Like you, sir?
So this is,
for me, the old man
this is not an ad. This is like people had to,
I condense that old man's
had to pay a healthy amount plus shipping and handling.
Beautiful words that brought Tom Boo from
three easy payments of $69.99.
Say the words, damn it,
Tommy.
What are the words?
All the obstacles in my life. You know, in the last 10 years,
he's gonna
on my
make
way
you wait
to make
for
these
him.
Millions wasn't easy.
This is a 2-minute, 20-second
from friends and strangers
section.
He's halfway done.
You know no, I know, but I'm saying, I think, I bet you there's like three or four of these on each video, and then it's just lingering shots of him on the yacht, hanging out, rubbing down chicks with bikinis, hanging out, sitting in the hot tub with some champagne.
And you know what? I have to keep telling these people every time. I kept saying, you're a loser. Get out of my way. I
make there he goes.
Now. Yeah.
You know, that's what I think you should say to anyone who's trying to hold you back in life.
You're a loser?
Those are the three words.
To toe. Of course, they are nothing. Stay away from them. Learn from success, not failure. You know, this
Duh.
Three little word now that every time I wake up in the morning, I already made my millions. I treasure that old man's secret in my heart forever. If you want to become wealthy, come to my seminar.
Christ.
Let me share with
come
you.
To my seminar.
You can't, you're not going to get it on the video.
I know. Some of you may say, well, why, Tom, don't go ahead and tell me this three little word right now to get
yeah.
it with. Well, nothing
yeah, dipshit.
Feelings like this come easy in life.
No, I'm not paying shipping
oh.
handling.
You got to get on your car, take the time out, come to the seminar.
Time out. I got
to
get a time machine.
That can make anyone change their life.
I wonder if he still gives these in prison.
This is 2 minutes of him telling us that there are two little words, or three little words. I think those three words are, you're a loser. I think he gives it away halfway through and then doesn't know where to go. And then tries to like hope that you forget by the time you get to the seminar that, wait, that was in the video.
Yeah.
That's the secret to success? Tell people they're losers? Well, it seems to have worked for Trump.
Dude. The whole time, we're sitting waiting for those three little words.
Yeah.
I was thinking of this.
Yes.
So call me now. $5 for each minute. $2 for each additional minute. You have reached coaches.
Hot. Come on.
Mine.
Mine.
Lay it on me, coach.
In the game of IMA versus Sin.
Cincinnati.
Sin.
Cincinnati.
Nat.
Cincinnati.
Come on.
Don't you realize it's costing me money?
We must many things. The wind.
Not the wind.
Is blowing out of the west.
Oh.
At 5 miles
per hour.
Not.
Oh, it's ridiculous. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, no. Jim Belushi plays harmonica.
Yeah. He's in the club with Bruce Willis. Like the white guys who think they can play the blues. Oh, look at it. Look at this guy.
There he is with the cowboy, Jim Belushi with the cowboy hat and a big fat cigar.
It's a blunt, sir, for the purpose of this story.
I think that would be a really fat blunt, but it could be.
Hey, dude, it's Jim Belushi.
I think it's a cigar. Hey, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Sometimes it's a big brown
and
dick.
Sometimes it's...
I think Oregon is the king of cannabis.
What's that? I recognize these call letters.
Oregon's is there something wrong with the audio, or was that his voice?
Actor Jim Belushi is part of that boom.
He called him actor-singer?
To talk about his passion, his vocation, and his vision for the future.
I think we got a balloon smuggler in the front row there.
Take me on a spiritual path of my own.
When he talks about marijuana, Jim Belushi almost sounds like an evangelist.
When you
really?
Ingest this plant, whether it's an oil or smoke, you're ingesting the light. The light of love, the light of earth, the light
of... What?
Stop talking. No!
The light...
That's kind of shit we have fought against on this podcast.
Do you think that when you eat a salad...
About 3 years ago, I started the medical grow down in Eagle Point, Southern Oregon, right in the middle of the banana belt, right along the Rogue River. And then last
that's a banana
year,
boat.
It,
bunch of Oregon hippies standing
around.
Those
Speedos that he wears when he goes to his lush garden of cannabis plants. On vacation.
Belushi travels Oregon to visit with dispensaries. Officially, they're business meetings. But his harmonica is always in his pocket. And he's always looking for a chance to play music.
No. Last year we visited.
What's the last celebrity that you'd actually want to have to hang out with? Like, your job is to be assistant to somebody.
He'd be on that list.
He'd be like last on that list, wouldn't he? Where it grows makes him. And this guy like smokes pot. He grows pot.
I don't know. Like this would be a bonus. Guy likes to get high. There'd be a lot of.
You just put up with it.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of free dope, it looks like.
After some growing pain.
Because we're smoking the light, right? So he probably likes to share it.
Just smoking. It's the air and the light. No, dude, it's a fucking drug, all right? We figured out that doing something with this plant that, quote unquote, God didn't intend has consequences that's then to be pleasurable.
That we think are pretty fucking neat.
Right.
Is being developed.
Despite the need for secrecy, Belushi says that he loves the adventure and the fellowship.
You're going to get a tan.
And I'm not getting acting gigs anymore.
The people that I'm establishing in this industry, and especially in Oregon. What have I learned?
Isn't he really kind? Isn't he due for some sort of like... Maybe has a co-starring role in an ensemble cast in some production where he's like, oh, he's really good, and but he's just kind of like playing Belushi, right? But he was really good. There's a lot more from our interview with Jim on KAT. Is Belushi gonna have a Travolta moment?
How so? Or masseuse sues him for
where somebody with some actual talent puts him in a movie. Because they're like, yeah, it would be kind of neat if we
no,
had Belushi.
No, he's too old for that. Travolta had that when he was like 40.
I don't know.
Jim Belushi's got to be in his mid-60s.
It's Alan Arkin in that stupid fucking cross-country beauty pageant movie.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
No, asshole. That was a brilliant movie by Michel Gondry.
No, Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine, yes. I see how you could confuse the two, though. Yeah, I mean, anyway. Although... When I heard that his part in that movie being referred to as such, I'm like, you're talking about the same guy? Like, Alan Arkin's been in everything. Like, he motherfucker was in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, until then, he was always just a character actor, a bit player, so to speak.
Like, Travolta was more of like, he was a flash in the pan kind of thing. He was a phenomenon in the late 70s, early 80s that just went away because nobody... was into his shtick anymore, right?
He showed up at first, hot second, with the Talking Baby movie.
He was popular when Greasy Italian Guys were popular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Greasy Italian Guys...
The Italian horn necklace?
Yeah. Greasy Italian Guys stopped being popular when the coke high of the late 80s eventually started to wear off.
And America collectively went, oh my God, what have we been doing?
And he just kind of... Yeah, I mean, he did the baby Talking Baby movies and stuff, but he wasn't getting real roles. Until Tarantino brought him back.
Yeah. I mean, Pulp Fiction is what restarted his career, so to speak. But everyone remembers this. We didn't forget Johnny.
Oh, I got no... I love this movie. I think it's a great movie.
And then he did Saturday Night Fever 2. Didn't he also do Stayin' Alive?
Wasn't seeing it? I don't know. I don't remember the kind of sequel to it. I don't know. I mean, I knew him from this and The Boy in the Bubble.
I always forget about that.
Do you remember?
Oh my God.
I gotta stay in this room because I'm like sick and shit.
Gotta stay in this room.
But like,
oh my God, I can't go outside.
I like watching you ride your horse though. You can ride your horse past my window.
You ride your horse real good. Yeah. Yeah, and then these babies are talking. Oh my God, it's crazy.
That chick was hot, though. The chick that he had a crush on in The Boy in the Bubble. She wasn't a very good actor.
Yeah, but then he kind of fizzled out.
Like, was that movie an after school special, or was did it come out in the theaters?
Wikipedia knows.
Because he was really young in that. That had to have been his first role. Alec Benjamin. Oh, there's a song called The Boy in the Bubble. There's a song called, a Paul Simon song called Boy in the Bubble. I heard some Dick Dale at the fuck. Is this Dick Dale?
Yes.
I heard some Dick Dale at the comic book shop today.
Here you go. There's actually a fucking The Boy in the Bubble plastic bubble preview.
Oh, yeah. They know how to save these children now. Oh, yeah. It's, can we make a decision like that? Wait, is that the guy from Brady Bunch?
Robert Reed? Is that Mike Brady?
I couldn't tell from that.
It's a bubble. Oh my god!
He did some movies like this, and it got him in the operating theater. Was this an actual promo, or somebody just decided to piece together the most awkward moments?
I don't know if that's Mike Brady. That's a. Is that?
He's kind of on the edge. I suppose we could devise
some way of transport. That's Mike Brady. I'm talking.
Yeah,
that's
totally him. Is.
Yeah, now looking at him. You know how much that's for sure Mike Brady. Daddy love you? Do you? Why is it? That kid's Asian.
That kid does look Asian. The 3-year-old. You're not getting any air. That's right. What is it? Let me check the fans. Oh my god.
He's just taking a big shit.
He's choked on the eye of his bear. Good morning,
Todd. That's it for toys.
Well, he made it. Hey, he attends class through.
Oh, I'm on TV.
It.
Oh my god.
He's got a closed circuit television set up.
Is this school? School's crazy.
Oh damn! Look, there she is. He's getting down. Oh. Oh my god.
Oh my god! Give me a boner.
Like. I just realized seeing him in that stupid hat. I'm completely forgetting about him being on Welcome Back, Cotter. What do you
think of my horse? Real? Oh, Mr. Cotter. Yeah, like that's like, where he this came
is,
from.
This is after that. He's already known for that TV
yeah, Cotter
show.
Cotter is essentially where he came from.
Yes. I'm completely negating
like,
that.
Like, that's how we got the Saturday Night Fever role.
This would have been his first movie, I believe. Or one of the first, had to have been.
Oh, look at these fireworks. Oh, my God.
Yeah, why you want to, like, make out with guys and stuff in front of me? They dared me, so I had to do it. Oh, guy. You didn't think I was serious, did you? Oh, I am.
And that is the night Todd discovered beating off.
She gets on her horse, and he gets shuttled away. Oh, God. Dear Lord. She jumps over his box.
Is that a metaphor?
Oh, yeah.
I did the most push-ups.
He goes
oh, my
to
God.
School in the,
oh, a space suit.
In the, like, the hazmat suit. Oh, he can't breathe. What happened? Your battery run out, Moon
Man?
He
can't breathe. Oh, my God.
Oh. Spoiler alert! Yeah, he goes outside at the end.
I'm outside! Oh my god!
Just like he belongs in the,
just
the
like
cult
Jesus.
Member.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.